Okay, everyone, it's the 7th of March, and this is the Thursday morning briefing with Hamish, Tony, and Ryan. We're going to drag this out for Nicky, who's playing football in 15 minutes. It's probably 10 minutes now, Nicky, where we just talk really slowly and drag out all our points, even longer than usual. Yeah. How are things, guys? How are you getting on? We're just chatting about Dublin there, weren't we? That's the kind of things we do yeah. while people think we're frantically getting ready to start the stream, and we're actually just chatting away.
Yeah, only because I'm off to Dublin tomorrow with my good lady wife for a wee break, so that's how it came up. Off air.
Fabulous. Fabulous city. Love it. Miss it, actually. Great city. Right, what are we chatting about? Brendan Rodgers, cited by the SFA, appealing 4 years or something like that when they eventually feel they want to get round to it. Could miss, I think, Livingston away and Rangers away are the games. You potentially get a two-match ban. I've not actually looked into whether a two-match ban is a formality or whether like there is any argument here, because he has broken the rule over, you know, the wording used. Have you looked into it at all, Tony?
I have indeed. I wanted to educate myself on these matters, so spoke to a couple of people yesterday, put some meat in the bones for this, right? So the first thing I thought as well was the timing of it. Well, it's all very convenient, and I thought, was Brendan Rodgers walking to Hampden, or has he just hailed a cab, tortoise taxis, to get him there in 3 weeks, right? So, but I was reliably informed that this is actually standard procedure, so that was news to me. So I thought, good, I'm educating myself here. So
it's different to the player stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll educate you guys. Yeah, I'll educate you guys as well on the process, because same way that allows clubs time to respond to charges and for a counter response, and then before the case is heard before a judicial panel. But there's a real important thing to note here, and I didn't know this either. This is not a match offence, right? Not in capital letters. These are press and media comments as opposed to technical area comments. Right, so the SFA now have three options. A fine, which is normally the go-to option, right? A ban ranging from, I don't know, 1 to 20 games I've seen written down and stuff. So, but part of that also could be suspended, right? So, and or a warning based on previous disciplinary issues or sightings, of which Brendan Rodgers has an exemplary track record. Right, an exemplary track record. So, but you could get like a warning or a censure as to your conduct, right? So that's what can happen here, right? So this was all news to me. I had a right wee deep dive into it and thought, okay, so I don't think it's the open and shut case that everybody thinks. So I looked at a couple of cases, and Craig Levine, remember his rant against Mike McCurry 2008?
Yep.
Utterly lambasted Mike McCurry, right? Yep. Dundee United lost 3-1. He get fined $5,000 for that, right? No ban, you get fined $5,000, right? And Steven Gerrard's rant about everybody's against Rangers and it's been happening for seasons. No ban, no fine, no warning, because the SFA didn't feel that he had a case to answer. So that's fine. So it just depends on what way this falls. But I thought I would try and put some kind of perspective on a narrative that was developing that he's going to be banned for Ibrox and stuff like that. He might well get banned for Ibrox, or it might be a suspended ban, but there's a highly likely chance that he could get heavily fined and censured and a warning as to future conduct and stuff, or a suspended ban that if he does break the rules again, that'll kick in. So, as I say, it was more for my own benefit before I jumped in any kind of mad, you know, conspiracy theories, as conspiracy theories have been having a field day with us. So, and I just thought I would impart that information so it kind of gives you a wee bit more kind of clarity or kind of, you know, views about it. So, as I say, Celtic will have ample time to prepare their case.
Yeah.
And hopefully they back their manager to the hilt on this. And, you know, with the Levine one as well, I mean, that was an astonishing rant. And he get fined $5,000. So, yeah. There's precedence there. And unless things have changed and I've missed somebody having a rant like that in the years that have followed that, I can't remember to the best of my knowledge, somebody really having a pop. The thing that might land him in hot water is the fact his name John Beaton and he's called him incompetent. he's banking rights on that because it says it in the actual rules that you're not allowed to do that. So we'll see what happens.
That's interesting. Yeah, I remember the Craig Levein stuff like it was yesterday. That was obviously in the SPL days, so I wonder if the rules are slightly different now. That may be something worth looking into. But those Levein comments were, they were insinuating bias that day.
They were
saying that, I think he quoted something like, we would have been as well not turning up today. Yeah. We're never going to win today.
Yeah,
and to be fair, that performance that day may have been even worse than the weekend. But
Curry would have been better phoning him and telling him to stay in the house. So, I mean, I think those are his actual
comments. Just when you're saying that, you're reminding me, remember Robbie Nielsen a couple of seasons ago, he said, if I said what I really thought of whoever the ref was, I'd get put in jail and all that stuff. And maybe he's got out of that because he's not actually said that. But, I mean, to me, that's kind of just as bad as what Roger said.
Yeah, it's insane.
Sorry, Ryan, on you go, yeah.
No, you lost connection there for a wee minute there, Tony. He's insinuating something there as well, which, you know, if you put two and two together, what is he saying? I just think it's all exhausting. 4 days, 5 days on from the game. I know that.
So buckle up,
Brendan Rodgers. What is it? Sorry.
Buckle up, because you've got another.
It's such a long time between incidents. I think it was what 25 days. I was actually speaking to somebody else about the rulings as well, and the reason why it's 25 days on is to build a case, but it's also to take the emotion out of cases. Now, I don't know how taking the emotion out of this case will mean, right, just put it two games before the Celtic Rangers game where you want Brendan Rodgers to be on the touchline. This is why I think you're better off dealing with these things in a case-by-case basis, because, you know, I know it's the rules and players can get fast-tracked because they need to be on the park, but I don't see why managers can't be the same. If you're fast-tracking a player, then I don't know why you can't get a manager in as well. It's just maybe that's just a problem with the rules. I know Brendan Rodgers was silly. He shouldn't have said what he said. Whether he agreed with his comments or not, he should have worded it slightly differently. But, yeah, we are where we are at the moment, and Celtic are just going to have to contest this charge to the hilt on the 28th of March.
It falls under a non-urgent case. That's why they don't fast-track managers. That's the official wording of that. It's non-urgent, so that's why it's in 3 weeks, and as I say, time to prepare your case, get a response to that, and then before it becomes before basically the football equivalent of court.
Two things.
The criteria that makes it non-urgent, to be honest, but you know that's
I think the rules probably are that, like, the boring answer is the rules probably just are the rules, and that's the way things are, and it's just unfortunate for us. And two points I want to raise, and give me your thoughts on whether this would form part of Celtic's case. I'm not sure. Number one would be Brendan Rodgers, certainly in his time at Celtic, has never said anything like that or been in this kind of position. I would probably argue throughout his career, although I'm not 100% sure on that. The point two, and again, I don't know if this has an effect at all, but he wasn't angry and lashing out when he made the comments. He was very calm when he said those things. Now, again, I don't know if that makes a difference because he still, you know, called the ref incompetent or the VAR incompetent. But, you know, would that be part of Celtic's argument, the fact that, like, Rodgers was actually quite calm, you know, while he did it? It wasn't as if he was lashing out. I don't know.
Listen, I think if you've got a decent enough legal team, you can argue that case, can't you? I don't think Brendan Rodgers has ever called out referee. He made a point of saying that on Sunday.
Yeah.
That he's never in all his career, and it's Swansea, Liverpool, Leicester, Celtic first time around, he's never called out referees because he never felt the need to. So whilst he was probably angry and spewing inside, he was very calm and measured. But I think the fact that he's named and shame beaten and called him incompetent is what will probably be the kind of crux of this matter. So that will be where the arguments for and against will be settled. And, I agree with you, Hamish. He was very measured whilst he was, you know, having a pop. But he wasn't ranting, he wasn't angry, he wasn't seething. You know, he was given his opinion, and he felt that the game was re-refereed by John Beaton, or certainly those two particular decisions were re-refereed by John Beaton. And, I think he's entitled to do that. I now think it's up to the club to back their manager. And see where it falls. But again, you mentioned there like SPL and it's got now the Scottish Premiership. I don't think the rules will have changed that much, if at all. You know, there's statutes, aren't they? And them rules are them rules, as you say. So if the go-to fallback on these things is a fine, then he might get heavily fined. And I think there might be part of a ban, but it might be suspended because of his exemplary conduct before. And I think they do take those kind of things into their thinking when they're handing out or meeting out punishments.
He was clearly, I mean, I maybe phrased that wrong a minute ago. He was clearly frustrated, clearly frustrated. He wouldn't have said that if he wasn't frustrated. The point I'm making is that it was a calculated decision to say what he said. It didn't feel to me like a complete, you know, he saw the red mist with the minute he walked into that press room. And I think personally, Rodgers, you know, had a decision to make after the game, the way he played it. It was a damaging afternoon for us. Let's not forget that. It was a really disappointing, frustrating afternoon for a number of reasons, including the team not playing well enough. And Rodgers, I think, took the decision to continue this kind of siege mentality, if you want to keep using that phrase, rather than call the players out. I thought it was notable that the first point he made in almost every interview was the players kind of stuck at it, gave me all they had, but the officials let us down. So he clearly wanted to keep the players' spirits high. Again, I've not got a problem with it. I just wonder if maybe he regrets using that incompetent word, especially if it could keep him out of a derby, which I think would be frustrating.
It's the second time in 2 weeks that, you know, some of his comments maybe could have been worded a bit differently, or he could have maybe taken a deep breath before he said what he said. But, you know, you're in the heat of the moment, you can't control yourself, even though he was trying to control himself. You could tell he was holding back, he was calm, but he was really, really frustrated at what was happening. You could see it in the room. You could see that he was annoyed with the way the game had went, but he was holding it back, which maybe meant that he could have stopped what he was saying, but I don't know, maybe he needed to get it out, because the first thing he says was the game was decided by the officials, and then he goes on to talk about that for the next 2 minutes. You know, he was always going to talk about it, given the nature of the game. That's what everybody was talking about after the game. It's not as if he was like the one exception. Everybody else was talking about the officiating after that game. Nobody was really talking about the football in that sense, because it took over the game completely, and he was just answering a question that went to him. Could he have worded it better? Absolutely. He could have said that for a couple of things over the past couple of weeks. But, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment of these things and you're under a title race, that you've got loads of pressure on you, you're bound to say things that maybe you might not regret, but word differently a couple of hours later. And I just think he's been stung with that.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. We've got a good while to leave this and probably come back to it. Joe saying, now that it's been said, don't let the issue go, take the fine and keep going for change. The bias must stop. Celtic should stop the VAR payments to the system. I've seen a few comments like that recently. I don't know if it's as simple as that or how that would work, but
VAR's not the problem here at all. And I think Brendan Rodgers has made that point. It's the people operating the VAR that is clearly the problem. The technology works. The technology gets offside rules, or most offside rules. You know, I keep on thinking that Motherwell away one a couple of years ago. But they get most decisions right. And it's needed in the game now just due to the money that's in the game. But the people that are operating it have to be qualified to use the machinery. You're only as good as the people that are operating you. And that's the reason why VAR's struggling at the moment, is because of the people that's operating it, not because of the system itself.
I agree with that point, right? I also think that VAR fundamentally isn't working the way it is at the moment. I think it has too much of an influence on matches, and it's re-refereeing matches for me, and it's been asked to come in and get involved in too many decisions, and I don't know exactly how you sort that going forward, whether you look at some sort of challenge system where teams can challenge a certain amount, like in basketball tennis, for example, or you limit what VAR can be used for. And I think it's four things at the moment. You maybe limit it to just goals or something like that, because even in a Champions League, like, you think back to that Atletico game when Maida was sent off, and it's like that ruined that game. And for me, that wasn't a red card. So
it's meant to be clear and obvious errors, wasn't it?
Yeah.
By definition.
It's not.
Well, it's
not.
I get it, that's what I mean. It's not. It's not.
I'm over it.
It's not. So that's you know, so the people operating it and the actual kind of wording around VAR, what it was brought in for and what it was brought in to do, we've kind of lost the thread on that, haven't we?
Yeah, lost the plot.
You know, well, the plot basically, aye. So
we all knew this was going to happen when VAR was implemented. It's not as if this is surprising whatsoever. We all knew, because we knew what officials were, and I don't want to talk about certain officials because maybe I'll get charged. You know, I don't want to hear in April or May.
Abandoned from the show.
need to bring in Kevin. he'll probably have stuff to say about VAR, mind you. But yeah,
that's a series. That's not.
It's we all knew this was going to happen back last year when it was, or the year before when it was implemented. It's just, I don't know how it's taken so long to get to this point. I thought it would have been a lot sooner. Then again, to be fair, the first game that Celtic played in was at Tynecastle, where VAR was an absolute shambles. So it seems as if Celtic go to Tynecastle in these games, it's just absolutely crazy.
That's my big issue with VAR. I think limit its use. It's getting too involved in things. My Ball saying the reason he had to highlight the incompetence this time is because the games are meaningful and points are crucial. First time around, we were so far ahead from our rivals, refs couldn't help. Claire saying, I can't see him being banned as he has no history of this characteristic. Yes, he was disappointed, but we all say things we shouldn't. Correct. I think he will get suspended, sentenced with a warning, told his tongue in a proper manner, and probably get a hefty fine. It's interesting you said that, Tony, because the suspended sentence is probably, given his lack of history with this kind of thing, I'm wondering whether a suspended sentence may be the route they go down.
Yeah, which is why I kind of had a look at it yesterday and kind of explained that today, because I was wanting for my own personal, because I don't think any of us are au fait with the workings of the SFA and disciplinary procedures, because we don't. You know, you can be a football anorak about your team and all that, but I just think things like that are something that's, you know, spewed up every now and again, i.e. when this happens. So you want to have a better understanding and a better grip of it. And, you know, social media people tell you this, that and the next thing. But as I say, I had a conversation with a couple of people yesterday and it was for my own benefit. So I just thought it'd be worthwhile bringing up on here and just, because there was that narrative building, though, the conspiracy theory narrative and all that, and all sorts of things being said. So I just thought I'd bring a wee bit of perspective on it and actually just kind of, you know, education as well, because I educated myself in the process, and I think that's part of your job at times, to educate people too if they weren't aware of what happens next. So I've got a feeling that a heavy fine and a suspended sentence could be the outcome because of who it is. And he doesn't have a track record for it, and it's probably the first time I've ever heard him speaking in that manner.
We may not be the main event today, guys, because there's a good debate going on in the live chat. I'm more interested in that than you. It's between Brown Warrior and Chill Pill.
The rest of the chat.
debating the Yang red card. Keep it up. And I'll just won't bother with these two. I'll just keep my eyes on the chat. We talk about Bernabe. What's the story there, Ryan?
SC Internacional are close to agreeing, I think it's a loan deal with an option to buy for the 23-year-old Argentinian. I was writing about it yesterday. I think this is best for all concerned that Bernabe leaves the club. Although it's two first team players, him and Abada as well, which should be announced in the next couple of days. I know we're not really talking about that as much, but those two players over the next couple of days should be leaving the club. It seems as if Celtic are the busiest club in the world at the moment, out with the transfer window, because they're getting loads of these deals done. They're getting players out the door. Yeah, I know, absolutely. You know, if you're going to be busiest at some point, I guess make it in the middle of March. But yeah, Bernabe seems to be going south of the equator to Brazil. As I guess, he's not trusted to be the backup to Greg Taylor. Brendan Rodgers clearly doesn't fancy him as a player, and I think he's moving to pastures now. If he does well in Brazil, I hope he gets his permanent move. But I just think it's been a bit of a disastrous signing, pound for pound.
Robert's got a nice optimistic view, Tony. Bernabe deal will be announced on Friday, followed by Greg Taylor getting injured on Saturday.
That wouldn't surprise you, would it? The way the season's been going, it was ever thus. self-fulfilling prophecies happening every other week. But yeah, I just think Burnaby's made more headlines off the park than he has on it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And for 3.75 million, Celtic can't afford to get that kind of for that kind of outlay. They can't really afford to get the players wrong, and they've just got it wrong. He's been woeful, absolutely woeful. And I think his car's been marked ever since he missed that first team meeting with Brendan Rodgers. I think that was the ultimate sign of disrespect to the manager, and he came up with some kind of excuse that the alarm never went off or something. You know, just
we've all used that one.
Yeah, ridiculous, isn't it? You know what I mean? But and I just think the writing was on the wall, because I think the manager would have felt he let down his teammates, he let himself down, but he let him down. And you know, you want players to succeed. You desperately want them to succeed, but it's just not happened for a variety of reasons. And without going back to it again, but my big concern and all of that is the recruitment. Who signed them? What did they base it on? You know,
Mark Lowell's first signing.
Yeah, we know who signed them. But I'm just sort of saying, someone has to sit me down and make it make sense. Because Celtic splashed out 3.75 million on this guy. Somebody has to tell me why.
It must have been potential. They can't have looked at him and seen like a tidy player, because he's not that. They must have looked at him and gone, he's a bit rough around the edges, but he has real potential. That's the only thing I can think of.
Because he's got no redeeming quality, has he?
Sometimes he'll do a run where he beats three or four players, and you know, he did show some, I'm saying very slight signs of promise, but you know, whenever Burnaby was included in the first team, there was always that risk and that liability at left back that he could do something wrong defensively or be out of position defensively. I think the writing was on the wall with that that Kilmarnock equaliser where he just gets muscled off the ball by David Watson, who headed the ball into the back of the net, and Burnaby's just get his arms out as if, you know, I've been fouled here. You know, you've got to be stronger than that. It was an absolutely dreadful signing. You know, a lot of his stuff off the pitch leaves a lot to be desired. His play on the pitch leaves a lot to be desired. It's definitely a position that Celtic need to prioritise in the summer window, I would say. Get a strong left back in to challenge Greg Taylor, because that's what Burnaby was brought in to do, to challenge Greg Taylor, and he didn't challenge him whatsoever. In fact, the one positive I could say about Burnaby is that he pushed Greg Taylor on in that second season under Postecoglou, because Greg Taylor got a lot better because he had some form of a left back challenging him. But he was never really the first choice, was he?
The best thing about Burnaby was Greg Taylor playing well. That's the thing we can say about Burnaby. For honestly, me, it was that, see that derby at Ibrox, the 2-2 game at the start of 2023. When Greg Taylor went down injured and Postecoglou put Juranovic on, who'd just come back from World Cup, at left back rather than Burnaby. For me, that was a moment when I'm like, yeah, there's no trust there.
Yeah, listen, there's been so many moments, hasn't there? As I say, I don't like to be disparaging or heavily critical of Celtic players, but I just didn't really see what redeeming quality he had, because people say, oh, he was better going forward. Well, he couldn't be any worse defensively, could he? He was just found wanting a lot. And you say, oh, his passing was good. It was erratic. The old Scott Nisbet thing, we said, every pass was an adventure with Burnaby. You know, he lacked height. Yeah, he lacked height, didn't he? So, you know, and out-muscle for a Kilmarnock, you know, so he lacked physical presence too. You know, he scored a howitzer at Dingwall. You know, and everybody thought that was the right, this is the real Burnaby. Turns out it was just flash in the pan, wasn't it? So, and I don't think at any time that he knuckled down either, because he just didn't seem to be learning off either manager that he played under, because he was still doing the same things and making the same mistakes, which for me were basics under Ange and Brendan Rodgers. So,
Who was it that he scored against? Was it Gambo Saka, the one that he gave the ball away with a massive touch and then sprinted, went up the park and scored? Yeah. That was Burnaby in a nutshell. You know, very consistently inconsistent.
The only thing that made it better was if he'd put it wide. rather than into the net.
I would have probably lived up to it, yeah. It's a shame how it's worked out for him, because he's a guy that's went to a new country, that's tried his hardest to acclimatise, but you know, I just don't think he's got the ability to play for Celtic as a first team left back. Maybe he could have been a winger, I'm not so sure, but maybe he was a winger earlier on in his career and he was moved back the way for a reason. But yeah, I hope he does well at Internacional. You know, a big club in Brazil. He'll definitely have adoring fans. So yeah, I hope that loan deal does well for him.
Which goes back to the original question: what skill set did they bring to the table which made him worth £3.75 million? What did Mark Lowell see then? These are questions that have to be asked.
That was his area of expertise, apparently, and I've heard that from a few people that South America was his expertise area, but Celtic haven't been back in that market since then, so...
Well, it's not surprising.
What would Thomas say if Burnaby goes, who's the left-back backup? My answer would probably be Anthony Ralston at the moment.
Yeah, it is at the moment.
No question.
Settled on that. Any advance on Anthony Ralston?
Sold.
I'd like it to be Mitchell Frame, because I thought he looked good against Feyenoord, but we've not really seen him since that appearance, in which I thought he really caught the eye.
What's Montgomery's injury like? Does anyone know?
Long term. It's a long term injury. I don't know what it is, but it was a considerable one that he wasn't even going back on loan to Motherwell. I think it just got cut short because of the severity of the injury, which is unfortunate because he needs game time, because he didn't get a lot of game time at Fleetwood Town. So that injury really came at the worst possible time for him.
A few people saying Scales, Gary and Ian saying Scales, Danielle saying Frames is injured at the moment. Dare I bring up Mikey Johnson for a second?
Yeah, I think it's getting
I feel like you're going to have something really wacky for us, Ryan. Recall him, get him in that team. Come on, he can take us to the title.
He's Celtic's in-form winger at the moment. It just so happens that he's playing for West Brom. I know, it's a sad indictment of where Celtic are in the wing position at the moment, but it was another incredible goal last night. And I'm glad to see him do well, because it's clear that I don't think he's going to work out for him at Celtic. And that's fine. You know, it happens for lots and lots of players. But if he's found somewhere that, you know, somewhere that he can play his game without the pressures of playing for Celtic at West Brom, you know, fighting for promotion, fighting for a playoff spot in the championship, which is at a really high standard this season, then I'm all for it. I hope that he can get a permanent move off of this and move on to pastures new in the summer, and hopefully he can make Celtic some money as well, because he seems to be lighting it up down there.
All of his goals, I could be wrong here, seem to happen A, at night, and B, live on Sky Sports. It's mad. I mean, and there might be an interesting point in there, because like obviously West Brom fans, I was looking in their Twitter page, you know, last night, and they were all, you know, saying like, how did this guy never make it at Celtic? So if they manage to get promoted, there's going to be a real clamour, I think, from their support to spend some of that money on Mikey Johnson. But also, like, did you hear the Sky Sports commentator last night when Johnson scored? It was basically like, he's done it again. Like, it's almost becoming like a thing. So you wonder if like other teams down south, and suddenly we could have a bit of genuine interest in Mikey Johnson. I compared it almost, and I don't mean in terms of the quality of the player before anyone jumps down my throat, I compared it almost to Jota coming to Celtic, and that Jota was really struggling at his boyhood club in Portugal, and he found a new home, lit it up, and we signed him. We might be witnessing something similar with Mikey Johnson, Tony.
It's the reason Mikey Johnson's at West Brom.
Yeah, agreed.
Right, he's not good enough to play for Celtic. That train has passed. Agreed. He can score all the wonder goals he wants in the world. It's a win-win for Celtic if they can get some decent cash for him, and you know, with a loan option to buy. But that Celtic career train has passed for Mikey Johnson, so he's now trying to impress future employers, of which he's doing a very good job. But I've got to be honest, people say, oh, this, that, the next thing. I don't particularly care what Mikey Johnson does with West Brom, because he's not playing for Celtic. People say, oh, you know, but he's not. And as I say, there's a reason he's at the Hawthorns and not at Celtic Park. So, you know, I've moved on from Mikey Johnson. I wish him well. I hope he does well and gets the move that he wants. Just, and the amount of times or the goals that you see where he did that in a Celtic shirt, cut inside and then scalped the ball out the stadium, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. So he just couldn't do it at Celtic. So, as I say, he's down there. He's tearing it up. He's doing very, very well, but not for me. He's had umpteen chances under many managers and just couldn't cut it at Celtic. So I think a parting of the ways is inevitable in the summer, and I wish him well.
I agree with you, right? The one thing I would say, if he keeps up that form and scores another, 10 goals before the end of the season, you surely have a look at him in the summer.
Yeah, you've got to. If he does that, if there is such a turnaround, because he'd be arguably the form player in the Championship going back to, and taking away the fact that he played for Celtic before, if Celtic were bringing up a Championship player that scored, 7, 8, 9, 10 goals in the second half of the season, take Mikey Johnson's name out of it, you'd be excited to see a player like him. Maybe, I'm not saying this will happen, but I think the reason why a lot of people are so annoyed about it is the fact that
you can't take Mikey Johnson's name out of it, because you've seen Mikey Johnson.
No, I know, absolutely. The reason people are annoyed is because of what Coon's not bringing to the team at the moment, or because of what Palmer's not bringing. They're seeing a winger do something, and the players that have came in to replace Mikey Johnson aren't doing the basics, which is what is expected of them. And Coon doesn't look like he can beat a man, whereas Mikey Johnson looks like he can beat every man down south. So I just think that's the reason why we're in this current situation, is because the other wingers aren't pulling their weight at the moment and doing the things that are expected of them. Do I think that he's got another career renaissance in Mikey Johnson? Probably not. But
I'm just making something.
If he was to continue in this trajectory and score another 6, 7, 8 goals, then you've got to look at him at pre-season at least, because he'll be hot property.
Tony doesn't know.
I don't think Mikey Johnson will ever be hot property. He's having a purple patch, but he'll revert to type soon enough.
Just now, Tony.
You might be right, Tony.
But yeah, for West Brom, Ryan, listen to yourself. For West Brom, I've never felt like that in Mikey Johnson at any stage in his career at Celtic. And he's had umpteen chances, and I want him to do well because he was a young kid. He was the next big thing. Show me what you got, Mikey. Mikey showed me what he got today, the freedom of Hampden. All I had to do was put the ball in the net. He ran through and buckled. His legs buckled, his bottle crashed. And you just think to yourself, your career could have been built on that moment. And you fluffed your lines. And I just think to myself, well, you know what? That's microcosmic of Mikey Johnson's career. Not what he's doing with West Brom at this minute maybe. In time.
Oh, the West Brom fan. The one West Brom fan we've got watching has just logged off, Tony.
That's
a shame. That's a shame. You got rid of him.
I don't know if
he'll be back. Right, I've enjoyed this today, guys. We've rattled through a few topics. Someone was commenting, have Tony and Ryan had a falling out? Interesting stuff.
Why?
We'll be on the undercard. We'll be on the undercard for Joshua and Ngannou tomorrow night.
I thought you're in the undercard for Chilpill and Brown Warrior, because they're still going at it.
Are they going at it? Are they?
The stream's going to end soon. You need to get your final word in. Whoever gets the final word in is the winner. That's the way it works. Right, thanks guys. Before we go, thanks again to MPH Group and Navien for sponsoring this. MPH Group have got an enticing winter boiler promotion, so you can check that out, and a big thanks to them for sponsoring this video, as they always do. Right, okay, back tomorrow for the final one of the week, isn't it? We'll be looking ahead to Livingston, a game we've not even mentioned today, guys. That's how much has been going on this video. Right, thank you, catch you this time tomorrow.